I'm excited about God's Word. How about you? I think it is beautiful and wonderful and fantastic when you can live the Word of God. Jesus said in the book of John, He said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life." These are not dead words in a book. They're life, and they're life-giving. I marvel as I read this Word, as God leads me in it, and as He shows me the passages that He wants me to read during the week, how we are living again the life of God's people. Much of what is happening among us has already happened to the people of God when they were wandering between Egypt and the Promised Land. We've shared some of those similarities and some of those analogies, and I believe God would have us to look at another one tonight or this morning, and a very special part of it in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, if you have that, let me ask you please to close your eyes and pray with me. Just agree with me that God will speak to us this morning by the power of His Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the privilege of declaring it and sharing it. Your Word, our Father, speaks clearly, eminently well for itself. We thank You, Father, for understanding and for revelation in it, because it's the anointing that's in us that teaches us. It's the witness of Your Holy Spirit inside that shows us the depth and the truth and the meaning of what You're trying to say. We know, our Father, that while we're sharing word here this morning that actually happened or was uttered thousands of years ago, almost 3,000. Nevertheless, Father, we know that if Your life is in the Word, that it didn't die back then, it didn't die 1,000 years ago, it didn't die yesterday, and it's not dead today, it's still alive. And so as we share it, we open our hearts and our minds, and we permit the life that is in Your Word to go deep in us, to cause our minds to be renewed, and our spirits to be built up, edified, strengthened, and nourished with this wonderful food. We thank You, Father, that You will speak clearly to us this morning, that You will peel away the veil and show us the fullness of Your light in this Word. In Jesus' name we thank You. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning to read at the very first verse. These are the words of Moses just prior to the children of Israel entering into the Promised Land. They had wandered 40 years. Moses is recounting and detailing for them their history. For some of the people who were there now, most of them, were not living at the time many of these things took place. They are the descendants of. And so he's reviewing for them before they enter the Promised Land. "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." I'm going to stop right there, because that's what I want to talk about this morning. Man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by the Word of God. And more than that, see, life does not come by bread or physical food. Life, God's life, comes from His Word. And the life of God comes not only from His Word, but it comes from every word. Every word. Not just part of His Word, but there's life in all of it. Paul said in his letter to Timothy, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable." All of it. not just some of it. Our life depends upon our obeying all of God's word, not just what we choose to obey. We like the part, you see, that says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. We like the part that says, ask the Heavenly Father and He will give you the Holy Ghost. We like the part that says, by His stripes we were healed. But we don't like the part where it says, resist not evil. We don't like the part where it says, turn your other cheek. We don't like the part, children, that says, obey your father and mother, that it may go well with you. Husbands sometimes don't like the part where it says, husbands, love thy wives, how like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. We don't like the part that says, do not repay any man evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. We don't like the part that says, bless those that persecute you, and pray for those that despitefully use you. We like the part that says, love one another, especially those that be of faith. But we don't like the part that says, love your enemies as yourself. Moses said, by the Spirit of God, man will live. God's life will be manifested in him to the extent that he does every word of God. All of it. God's word is not to be picked over and chosen from and selected. I like this and I don't like this. Yes, this is right, but this is not for today. Yeah, this is okay, but that's for sinners. That's not for me. Moses said every word, all of it, all of it. When God gives revelation in the word, he expects us not only to hear, but to do it. So that the fullness of his life, all of it, not just the down payment of it. You see, salvation, the giving of the Holy Spirit, that is the earnest. That's the down payment of it. That's not the whole thing. There's much, much more. When you're saved, you just came in. When you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you've just met the teacher. You hadn't received everything that God has for you yet because you don't know what they all are. Paul said, how's a man going to know unless he hears? And how's he going to hear unless somebody preach? We can only believe and receive from God as much as we know he's promised us. Now let me show you what happened to the children of Israel during the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. And I want you to relate this, not from a historical standpoint only. If all you see is the history, then there won't be any life-giving in this word today. I want you to see it as it applies to us. Turn to chapter 1 in the book of Deuteronomy. Beginning to read at verse 19. Moses, this is still Moses, he is recounting the history of the fathers of the children of Israel. He is explaining to them and reminding them what happened. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Now look at what God said in his word. What was the word of God to the Israelites? What was his every word? go up and possess it. That's what he said. Is that the word of God? That's his word. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. Is that what God said? That's not what God said. That's what man said. And the saying pleased me well. He said, I even agreed with it. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. He said, you wouldn't do every word that God spoke. The commandment of God, you see, is his word. You rebelled against that. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. You accused God. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts. You listened to evil reports and caused your hearts to be discouraged, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven, and moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. In the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until ye came to this place. Moses trying to encourage the people. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night to show you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. The Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, listen, because he hath wholly, wholly, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. And also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes. He got on my case because of you, saying, thou also shall not go in thither. He wouldn't let me go in either. Because if we don't all go together, none of us go. See? But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in hither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. All right, here are the children of Israel, just recently delivered out of the land of Egypt by a strong and mighty hand. God had stretched out the power of his right arm. He had caused plagues and deliverance, plagues to come upon Egypt, deliverance to come upon his children, and he had sent his kids out with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day to give them guidance and give them direction. And he had brought them to this place, Kadesh Barnea. And he said to them, now just across the mountain and just across the river Jordan is the land of promise which I have given you. Now go in and possess it. They said, we don't think so. We'll check it out first. God said to them, if you're not going in, none of you will go. Now here's a rebellious and a disobedient people. They would not believe every word of God. They would not do every bit of God's work. But now if you'll turn with me, please, to the book of Joshua. Next one after Deuteronomy. Chapter 5, beginning to read at the 13th verse. I'm going to read on through chapter 6. Now, it's a very familiar story, but in order to get the flavor of it all, I'm going to read all of it. It's the story of Joshua, the Battle of Jericho. And I want you to notice particularly the difference in the people. I want you to see how different the people are. Verse number 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Now, for those of you that may not know, Jericho was the first major city after the children of Israel had crossed the Jordan River. They were come into the Canaan land. It was the land of promise. God had said to Joshua, he said, every place you put your foot down, I give you that land as I did unto Abraham your father. You go in and possess it. He said, you're going to have to fight for it, but I fight with you and I will work with you and fight your battle for you. And if you'll put your foot down on it, I will see that it comes into your possession. I will do it. So they crossed the Jordan River. Moses is now dead. Joshua is the one who is leading the children of Israel under the anointing of God. Joshua says to the children of Israel, let's go across the Jordan. He parted the Jordan River and they went across by the power of God. Now they're in the promised land, and the first city that they see is this great big city, Jericho. There's enemies in that city. It's got a great big high wall that runs all the way around it. It's impossible to get into the city. They can't go any further because the people that are inside that city control all of the land thereabouts. They must destroy the city and capture that people and bring them into subjection in order for them to possess that land. That's the situation. Verse 13 again. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. This is an angel of God that has appeared before Joshua. He says, I'm the captain of God's army. That's what a host is. You read that word host in the Old Testament, it means army. He says, I'm an angel and I'm the captain of God's army. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do it 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. All right, what did God say? He gave him his word, didn't he? He gave the word through the angel to Joshua, then to the people. He says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take all of your armies. I want you to set them in array. I want you to take the ark, and I want you to put 7 priests in front of it. And once a day for 6 days, I want you to go around the city. You tell the people they're not to say a word, they're not to make a noise. The priests are to blow the horn. On the 7th day, he said, I want you to do the same thing, only you go 7 times. After you've been around the city 7 times and the horns blow, you tell the people to shout. And when they shout, the walls will come tumbling down. Now, that's about as goofy a set of instructions, I think, as a general of an army ever heard. Especially from an angel with a flaming sword. Now, can you imagine what would be the natural reaction of the people when Joshua came back to the camp? He said, hey, guys, guess what? I've just seen a man with a flaming sword. He said he's the captain of God's army. He told me, take my shoes off, and I did, because the ground was holy. And he said that if we will just do this, walk around the city 6 times, don't say anything, don't make any noise, leave the wives and the kids at the tents, we just take the ark and carry that and put 7 priests out there with some ram's horns blowing them. And if we'd go around once a day, on the 7th day, we'll go around 7 times, and then on my signal, the trumpets are blown. When the trumpets are blown, everybody shouts a loud shout. This man with a flaming sword, the one that told me to take my shoes off, the captain of God's army, he said that if we'll do that, he said the walls will fall down flat, and we just walk up on it, and just walk up to the city. We just go right in and take it. Oh, come on, Josh. You suppose that's where this expression, you're Josh and me, has come from? You got to be putting me on. I'm not walking that close to that city. They'll kill me from the walls, for goodness sakes. Now, if you'd have said, we're going to get us a battering ram and we're going to attack the gate, you know, on the east side. Now, that makes some sense. But God's no dummy. He's not going to have us walking around. But no, nothing like that. Nothing like that. Listen. In Joshua, verse 6, the son of Nun called the priests, and he said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Now this is key. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of the ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Now, it's a different set of circumstances here in terms of how the people responded to Joshua. Is that true? 40 years earlier, they said, Moses, we're not sure. We're going to send some spies in and check it out. But 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, 40 years under the leadership and the guidance of God, 40 years under the forming and the molding of the Spirit of God in the wilderness had brought this people unto a mighty nation, unto a people that would say unto God, we'll follow you and we'll do every word that you say do. And that people, after 40 years of forming and 40 years of molding and 40 years of learning how to depend and trust upon God and 40 years of learning how to do every one of God's words, whether they made sense or not, that people under Joshua's leadership went to the walls of Jericho and shouted with a loud shout, and the walls came tumbling down. And it's one of the most glorious stories in the whole of God's word. What was God doing for 40 years? He was taking a group of in excess of 1 million people with their own ideas and their own attitudes and their own suspicions and their own ways of doing things, molding them to be one man and one people and one nation who would follow him and live for him and serve him and do all that he said to do, so that he could do a mighty work in the world through them. Now, as many of you as are here this morning and have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, know what God is saying to us. God's people will still walk in the wilderness as long as it takes for God to mold them into one nation, into one mind and one heart and one judgment, so that when he speaks to them, they move as one man, that his work will be done in the earth. There's only one way, brothers and sisters, for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and any local body to enter into the promised land. God has spoken to us here time and time again. He has said that His anointing is on this place. He has said that the lame will walk in this very place. He has said that blind eyes will be opened in this very room. He has said that deaf ears will be unstopped in this very room. He said that limbs will grow in this very room. He said that the multitudes will be touched by His power in this very room. And I want to say to you today that that will not happen, because that's the promised land. That will not happen until this body of children, I'm saying all of us, are one. It will not take place. God's ways are higher than ours. They're not like ours. But praise God, He's not keeping them secret. He's showing us what they are. I praise Him also for this, that He will not change His ways to suit us. He will not modify it. If His work is to be done here or anywhere, if it's here or across the street or up the street or in your home, if God's work is going to be done, it will be done among and by a people who are one nation in Him. When I see the children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea saying, "No, I don't think we'll do every one of God's word. We'll do a part of it. But this part over here where He says, 'Go on in,' there are giants in there, man. We ought to check that out. We're not going to do that." Well, I'm saying to you, God's not going to heal your lame. Do you hear what I'm saying? But when God has a people, and that people says, "God, what do you want us to do?" And He gives guidance and He gives direction, and He has a people that will say unto Him, and to one another, "Surely the Lord our God goes with us. Surely the Lord our God leads us. Surely the Lord our God will lead us into the land of promise and plenty. And we'll go as one people." Then you'll see the lame walk. Then you'll see the blind eyes opened. Then you'll see the multitudes touched by the power and the Spirit of God. Under Moses, these people were not ready to go into the land of promise. They were not prepared. They weren't ready. If God would have led them under Moses to Jericho, and Moses would have said, "This is what we're supposed to do," they would have murmured and grumbled and moaned and complained about Moses. Half of them would have gone up around the wall. The other half would have been back at the camp complaining. The walls of Jericho would not have come down. God's people would have been defeated. God's people would have been destroyed. God's people would have been thrown into disarray. Rather than have His people thrown into that kind of a circumstance, He allowed them to wander 40 years in that wilderness in the desert. Moses said in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, it's the word that we began to read, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to test thee, and to know what was really in your heart, whether you really would keep every one of God's words or just some of them." That's what the wilderness experience is for. God still has a wilderness for His people. God's still leading in His wilderness. He's still feeding them water out of the rock. He's still feeding them supernaturally manna. He's still bringing the flesh and the quail in at night and seeing that they're provided for. But they're not entering the promised land until they are proven, humbled, and determined that they will do every word of God. Now, it is possible for us, church, to be your average, normal, everyday church. We get a few of God's works done. We get a little bit of the work of God done here and there. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that kind of a church. I don't want to be part of that kind of a church. I don't want to be part of that kind of a work when I know what our God can do, when I know what He will do, when I know what He wants to do, when I know what His heart is crying out for a people that will do. And I guess I just say to you that he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you care enough about us not to leave us to our own devices. That you care enough about us to mold us and to form us like a piece of clay. And even like the piece of clay on the potter's wheel that Jeremiah watched, if we begin to form the wrong way, even to break it, and to reform it out of nothing, Father, we magnify you that you care so much about us that you continue to mold, that you continue to bring pressure to bear on those things that bother us, to form us into the shape of a nation that can enter into, possess, and receive the fullness of your promises and declare the fullness of what you are to a broken earth. We thank you, Father, that you continue to work with us so as not to permit us to give a 60% image of God or a 40% image of God or any kind of a twisted or incomplete image of your love and your power and your mercy and your compassion and your ability, but yet you continue to mold and to form and to work that we might show a clean, clear, crisp, pure image of who you are. We acknowledge our Father that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Not I and some of something else, but only Jesus, only Him. Nothing else that would darken that light. Nothing else that would twist that beautiful face. Nothing that would hinder the powerful flow of that love. Nothing. We want our Father nothing between us, and nothing in us, save the fullness of your Spirit. So, Lord, we want you to know that whatever you must do to bring us to a place of maturity and perfection and in Christ Jesus, whatever you must do to bring us to that place where we are grown up into Him fully, we want you to do it, no matter how it hurts, no matter what we think, no matter how we may resist, no matter our understanding. We resolve to do the entire Word of God, which you said was like a two-edged sword that would divide asunder the soul and the spirit, that would separate for us that which is soulish and sensual from that which is spiritual and godly. We see how important it is, our Father, that we neglect not any part of your Word. We receive, Father, the gentle, persuasive, and yet persistent ministry of your Holy Spirit to cause us to become truly the light of the world and the body of Christ here in the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know that ministers to you. I can't tell you how it ministers to me. Just in my spirit. James, would you come, please? And lead us as we sing. Let me say to you that as we are singing, we're going to close the service, Lord willing. As soon as we finish singing this closing hymn, and then we're going to have the meeting of the assembly. And again, I ask you to stay, as many of you as can. And if you're a member, especially, I ask you to stay. If you're here this morning and do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we've been talking about receiving the inheritance and how to take the promised land. But if you don't know Jesus, the promised land doesn't belong to you. There isn't any way you can take it. Now, that's not good news. If you don't know Jesus, you already have your inheritance. But the good news is you can trade that in on a new and a better deal. One that can begin for you today and last for eternity and get better and better and better. And the way you do that is the way the choir sang to open the service this morning. They sang, "I am the way. I am the way. Jesus is the way. And no man cometh unto the Father except by Him." That's how you come to God. That's how you get right with God. That's how you establish a new inheritance, is by coming to Jesus. If you don't know how to do that this morning, friend, if you would stay and speak to me after the service, speak to any of our elders.